WMFO, Medford. Unlike milk, long-distance telephone calls, and library books, there is no due date, tolls, or expiration in the grand hour. This morning, I had a birthday request from a fan club member. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to track down the request, so I was having some troubles at the home studio and just wasn't unable to get it. But there will be no six shooter today in the double billing. I will go ahead and play two episodes of The Shadow. And I did have some difficulty queuing up this one. So if I'm spotty with my times, my apologies. But this one is going to be Poison Death. Its original air date was the 30th of January, 1932. I'm sorry, 1938. I can't read my notes.
The shadow knows.
So again, the request was, I have it right here, Crime and Cash. That was from season 14. What I have for the second half of this double billing was a later episode, non-Orson Welles. I just had to switch notebooks. So all my notes for what I'm going to play in the second half of this double bill are in that notebook. I'm not going to bring more than I need to here to the studio. You're listening to Arthur. This is the Grand Hour. 91.5 FM WMFO.
Mercy Hospital.
Quick, send an ambulance to 217 Shoreview Road. My children, they're poisoned, dying. Oh, hurry. Hurry, please. Hurry.
Doctor. Doctor, what's wrong with my husband?
He's been poisoned.
Poisoned? Isn't there something you can do? Some way of saving him?
No, I'm sorry, my dear. It's too late. Your husband is dead.
What's this, Bill? Another poison case?
Yes. The calls are coming in faster than we can answer them.
Well, this one will have to go to general. The emergency ward is full, not a cot left.
The same thing at every hospital in town. They're swamped, all poison cases. And nobody knows how they're getting it or what it is.
Come in, Commissioner Weston.
Thanks. I came over as soon as I got your message, Mr. Mayor.
Hang on, Commissioner. You know why I sent for you?
Yes. And I hate to admit it, but we haven't one single clue to go on. I've had the entire police force working on this poison epidemic for 3 days, and we're right where we started.
From the first ransom note was sent to the newspapers demanding $1 million ransom, or this city of over 1 million souls will be wiped out, poisoned, I thought it was a hoax.
Mayor, it's a wild scheme of a crazed mind. It can't be anything else.
I don't agree with you. The ransom note was signed The Shadow. This same shadow you claimed has helped you solve so many crimes. But it was never asked for reward or credit.
I don't believe The Shadow sent that note, Mayor.
No? Then look at this photostatic copy of the original typewritten threat. Listen to the way it's worded. For years, the shadow has smashed brackets, wiped out criminal syndicates, trapped murderers without reward. And now the time has come for a settlement. The shadow has saved the city millions. Now the city will pay the shadow. $1 million for the hospital to be filled with the dying and the morgues will be filled with the dead.
I'm still convinced that it isn't the real Shadow who's guilty.
You say that because the Shadow has helped you so much in the past.
I resent that, Mr. Mayor.
All right, resent it. But it's up to you to get busy and find out who's responsible.
The fact remains that no clues have been found.
Well, I've got to have action.
I'm doing everything I can.
Maybe you are, but you ought to do better. Look at this report. The hospitals are filled with the dying. The morgue is filled with the dead. Hundreds of innocent people, stricken by a poison the health department can't identify. A poison for which there seems to be no antidote. What is it? How is it being fed to the people? Find out or we'll get another police commissioner. Just a minute, there's a phone. Hello?
This is Clyde Burke of the Classic, Your Honor.
What is it, Burke?
We just received another note signed by the Shadow.
What this time?
Listen to this. I can strike at random, but I can also single out any one of you for death. To prove it, I am going to poison Dan Brinkley, Commissioner of Sanitation. When you get this through the mail, Brinkley will be dead.
Thank heavens you're back. Have you discovered who's poisoning all these people? Who's using your name, the name of the Shadow?
Oh, no, Margot. Every theory I've worked on has led nowhere.
Well, whoever he is, this man masquerading as the Shadow must be absolutely insane.
There's no doubt about that, Margot, but it's the insanity of a genius, not of a money-mad fool. What strange, distorted mind could devise such a terrible scheme? Margot, let me see that map of the city again.
I'll get it.
You know the one where we marked all the areas affected by this wholesale poisoning?
Yes, I know.
Mm.
Here you are, Lamont.
There you see. The cases are widely scattered all over the city.
Well, have you any idea how these people were poisoned? Must have been put in food or milk or something. There have been so many poisonings, it doesn't seem humanly possible it could have been administered individually.
No, they were poisoned in groups. In every house affected by the poison, no one escaped. It wasn't poison milk. The newspapers checked on that, and it couldn't have been the food.
No, the food those people ate came from 100 different stores.
Wait a minute, Margot. You've just given me an idea. What's the one thing that all these people must have had at some time or another on the day they were poisoned?
What do you mean, Lamont?
Margot, I think I've got it. Water. Yes, water, that's it.
Well, how could that be?
I don't know, Margot, but that's the answer. I'm sure of it. That explains the grouping of the poison cases.
But how?
It could have been done at the water meter introduced into the main pipe in the basement somewhere.
So many different places without somebody noticing?
Yes, well, Margot, who could tamper with the water pipes in the basements of any building in the city and not arouse suspicion?
Why only someone from the water company is the man who reads the meter.
Exactly, or someone posing as a representative of the water company. Margot, come on, let's open the window. Something else has happened.
Oh, Lamont, it's like a nightmare.
Close the window, Margot.
Lamont, why do you suppose Commissioner Brinkley was singled out?
Margot, distorted mind, especially that of a brilliant man, will very often move along a straight line from cause to effect. This case follows a line so simple and so straight that the police do not even suspect who he is, Margot. But in killing Brinkley, he deviated from his original purpose long enough to settle a grudge. This is that one mistake the greatest of criminals make.
You mean it's somebody whom Commissioner Brinkley wronged?
Yes. But Brinkley may never have wronged anybody. A man with a warped mind like this, an imagined wrong, can inspire revenge just the same.
Maybe it's someone who worked under Brinkley, someone in the Department of Sanitation.
Margot, the pieces of this crazy puzzle are beginning to fit together. Where's yesterday's paper, the one with a photostatic copy of the ransom note sent by the man masquerading under the name of the Shadow?
Oh, here it is, Lamont. I kept it along with all the other clippings.
Yes, let me see. For years, the Shadow has smashed brackets, wiped out criminal syndicates, trapped murderers without a what? Margot.
Mm.
Look at this. The letter E, it appears six, seven, eight times, and every time it appears out of line, and look.
Yes.
Look here, the letter A is blurred. Margot, it's like ABC, the obvious clue. We could only find that typewriter.
Lamont, out of all the typewriters in the city, it would be like looking for a needle in a haystack. Don't you suppose the police have considered that angle, tried to find that machine?
Well, perhaps they have, but without first logically working out the problem as to the one place where that machine might be, they're wasting their time. The one place is the Department of Sanitation. It's so logical as to be incredible. Come on, Margot, get your hat and coat. We've got work to do, and there's no time to lose.
But, Lamont, you're not going to the Department of Sanitation at this hour of the night.
Why not?
Well, suppose you were caught.
Don't worry, Margot. The real Shadow won't be caught. I need your help if we're going to try out all the typewriters in those offices. It's a job for Lamont Cranston and his assistant, Margot Lane.
But if we're caught, how long a sentence can they give us for breaking into a public building?
It's worth risking, and far better than sitting here building up theories and knocking them down again while this mad masquerader carries out his monstrous schemes of wholesale murder. Come on, Margot, let's go.
Yeah, it's the last one in here.
Then let's try the next office.
Be careful of that flashlight, Lamont.
Yeah.
Must be a watchman here in the building somewhere.
He's down in the basement sweeping. I made sure of that before I signaled you to come in.
Oh, it looks like another exploded theory, Lamont. We've tried dozens of machines, and none of them have the characteristics of the letters in those ransom notes.
We're not going to stop until we've tried them all, Margot.
There's a door there leading to the back part of this floor, Lamont.
Yes, it says, Private Office of Chief Chemist A.D. Gerber. Let's look in there.
Yes, there's the machine.
It's the only one in here. Try it, Margot. Here's some paper.
Thanks. I'll be glad to get out of this place.
Type the same words, Margot. That's it. For years, the Shadow has smashed rackets, wiped out criminal syndicates. Margot, the A blurred. Go on, finish it. Trapped murderers without reward. Now the time has come for settlement.
This is the machine that typed the warning notes to the papers.
The office of the city's chief chemist. In Gerber's office.
It might not have been Gerber. Other people could get to this machine and use it.
Margot, everything's beginning to fit together. Who would know more about poisons than a chemist? You know, I felt all along.
What was that?
Someone in the next room.
Turn your light over on that door, Lamont. There's lettering on it.
Laboratory. Keep out.
Who would be in a laboratory at this time of night?
Margot, I don't know. But I'm going to find out.
It may be the man we're looking for, Lamont.
Margot, I think it'll be best if you get out of here. Go back to the car. Wait for me.
Oh, please, Lamont, let me stay here till you come out. I might be able to help you if it's that crazy man.
No, Margot, no. Go out to the car and wait for me. Lamont Cranston and Margot Lane have done all they can. The time has come for me to be the Shadow. The real Shadow must open that door.
The second part of the Shadow's adventure will continue in just a moment. In the meantime...
Okay, this is a poison death. Original air date, the 30th of January, 1938. Starring Orson Welles as Lamont Cranston in The Shadow. And Agnes Moorehead as Margot Lane. You know, I was going back through trying to find Crime and Cash. Look, just do a little bit more snooping around. It could be, that was episode 14. There could be some copyright involved in that, so that's why it wasn't available in the archive. Somebody might have owned it to license it to some of these other radio, you know, businesses like Old Time Radio Classics, Radiola. There's a string of people that have licensing rights to some of these.
Order blue coal.
I'll just peek in and see if we're, because I didn't miss my cues on preparing this show. So I don't really know when the blue coal ad's gonna end. But, so yeah, sorry about that, the loyal listener. Hope you had a happy birthday. go. We're going to return to the shadow.
Why should I be nervous? No one knows. I'm here all alone. And who would suspect me, Gerber, the city chemist? I'll never tell them. They'll never know that Brinkley is dead. They'll make me commissioner of sanitation. I should have had the job when they gave it to him. I guess he knows it now. Gerber, bring me that report. Gerber, why didn't you do this? Gerber, why didn't you do that? Treating me like dirt. All that's over now, though. Over and done with. How did that door get open? Must have forgotten to close it. Must be getting absent-minded. Got to be more careful. Someone might come in. Might ask me what I'm doing. What I'm making.
What are you making, Gerber?
What was that? Who said that? Who laughed?
The shadow spoke. The shadow laughed, Gerber.
The shadow?
Yes, Gerber. I am the shadow. You know my name. You've been using it as a cloak to cover your excursions into the realm of murder.
Oh, you can make yourself invisible, Shadow. Or are you hiding?
I happen to be master of the ancient art of hypnotism, by which I can blind your eyes to my presence.
But you are really here in this room. Physically, I mean.
Yes, I opened that door. I walked into this room. I am here. Quite near you, Gerber.
How did you find me?
By a process of elimination. Because you made one mistake in your admirable train of logic.
A mistake?
Yes. When you murdered Brinkley, the commissioner of sanitation, I knew it must be someone who had a grievance against him, real or imaginary.
Real or imaginary. Oh, I see. You think I am insane, Shadow?
The sanity of a brilliant mind is not measured by ordinary standards, Gerber.
Yes, that's it. My co-workers know I'm brilliant. They don't think I'm eccentric because when anybody's around, I'm on my guard.
What were you doing when I came in, Gerber?
Filling this bottle.
What is in that bottle, Gerber? What is that crimson-colored fluid?
That is the poison, Shadow. I'm supposed to be analyzing the blood taken from my first batch of poison victims, but instead I've been making more poison. You see? It's all ready now. Would you like some, Shadow? I'll be glad to give it to you.
What are you going to do with that bottle of poison, Gerber? Or are you afraid to tell me?
No, I'm not afraid. You can't stop me. The devil himself couldn't stop me. Listen. I'm going to drive to one of our fashionable suburbs where all the important people of the city live. There's a high steel water tower there. I'm going to climb that tower and pour this little bottle of poison through the trap door at the top. It will be diluted in the water, carried into the homes of all those prominent people. And by tomorrow night, they will all be dead.
It is fortunate I found you in time.
Time for what, Shadow?
In time to stop you.
Who can stop me, Shadow?
You're not going to leave this laboratory with that bottle of poison, Gerber.
Yes, I am. And I'm going this minute, Shadow. You see this test tube?
Yes.
It's filled with acid. Acid that will burn you beyond recognition.
You forget you can't see me.
Yeah, but the only way you can stop me is by physical means, with your body that seems to be not even a shadow. And to do that, you must drop your cloak of invisibility.
How do I know that isn't a blind to make myself become visible to you?
No, it isn't a blind, Shadow. See, I pour a little on the floor. You see? Think what that would do to human flesh. And you say you are human?
Yes. Yes, I am human.
Then I dare you to stop me. At the first touch of your hands, I'll throw it at you.
It is better that one man be injured than you should kill another entire community. I'm willing to take that chance.
All right. We'll see if you're as brave as you sound, Shadow.
Stop where you are.
No! I'm leaving, unless you stop me physically.
Then I have no alternative but to fight you man to man.
Get off me! So you are human. All right. Take this. I warned you, Shadow. You will be burned beyond recognition. That acid will eat into you to the very bone. Goodbye, Shadow. At last you've met someone who is your match. Now there's no one to stop me putting the poison in that water tower.
Margot!
Yes, Lamont?
Did you see a tall, powerfully built man come out of the sanitation building just now?
Yes, Lamont. He got in a car. There he goes, going down the street. You can still see the tail.
Follow me, Margot. In heaven's name, don't lose him. That's the man, Gerber.
He won't get away.
Margot, it's the first aid kit. It's in the car.
Yes, it's in the side pocket. Oh, Lamont, your clothes, they're smoking.
Yes.
And your hand's bleeding. Oh, Lamont, my dear, what happened?
Acid, Margot, acid. He was getting away with a bottle of poison. I tried to stop him, and he threw the acid.
Oh, Lamont, your face. Let me look at your face.
I didn't get any on my face.
Oh.
I threw up my arm in time. It's all right. I'll bandage my hands as best I can. Keep your eyes on that car, Margot.
Yes.
Far more important. Don't lose him. He's heading for the suburbs. This time, Gerber really means business. Margot, we set to poison the whole community. He's going to dump a bottle of that deadly stuff in a water tower.
Lamont. Oh, you're in terrible pain. I can see it. Let me take care of you. Let me stop at a phone booth and call Commissioner Weston. Let me send out a general alarm and pick this man up.
No, Margot, we have a job to do. We lose Gerber. If we stop him, the police wouldn't be any good. We'll find out where he's going, and then we can call the police.
All right, Lamont. You know best. I'll try not to lose him. Oh, Lamont, is the pain any easier? You've got to get to a doctor as quickly as possible. Infection might set in.
I will as soon as... Margot, look.
Yes?
I think Gerber is nearing his destination. He's taking that road up the hill. If I remember correctly, the water tower's at the top.
Lamont, how will you stop him now? You with your bleeding hands. He's a powerful man. Crazy with the strength of a maniac.
I've got to do what I can to delay him. Keep him from putting that poison in the tower until you can get the police.
The police? Lamont, how is he going to get the poison in the tank?
He said there was a trap door on top of the tower. A door they used when they cleaned the tank.
Oh, Lamont, that means you may have to climb that tower. Now, you can't, not with your hands in that condition. It's snowing. There'll be ice on the rungs of the ladder, and in this wind, you're liable to slip and fall.
I've got the chances. Stop, Margot, stop. At the water tower.
There's the car. Lamont, look, it's Gerber.
Mm.
He's starting to climb the tower already.
Margot, go now, get the police. Hurry. Tell them to get someone to shut off the water in this tower in case I fail. Hurry, Margot, hurry! I'm going up there after him.
All right, Lamont, I'll get him. Who is that?
The man you thought you'd left in your laboratory. Burnt and blind with acid. The Shadow.
Yes? Well, I thought I had you. But all right, keep on following me. You're a long way behind me by the sound of your voice.
Yes. Yes, but you have to stop when you get to the top. And I shall catch up with you.
Yes. By that time, I shall have poisoned the water.
You forget the trap door to the tank may be locked.
It will be rusty and easy to break.
But it will take time, and I shall be gaining on you. You need to hurry, Gerber. That's too bad you missed my face with that acid, isn't it, Gerber?
Yeah, but some of it went on you. I heard it sizzling into your flesh.
On my hands, that's all. Don't you want to see them?
Then you must be suffering holding onto the ice-covered ladder.
Not as much as you'll suffer once I reach you.
All right, hurry, Shadow. I'm on the top already. Now, you were right, Shadow. The trap door is locked. But that won't stop me. I'm going to blow it open with my revolver. The lock is broken, Shadow. You'd better hurry up.
I'm not far below you now, Gerber.
Now I'm opening the trap door, Shadow.
Yes, yes. Now, here it, Gerber, but you'll never put the poison in the water.
I have the bottle in my hand. I'm pulling out the stopper.
And I'm here to knock it out of your hand.
Ah! Yes! You broke it! You spilled the poison! You spoiled my revenge! You spoiled it! But you'll pay for it. You're leaving blood marks on the snow with your hands. You can't get off the top of this tower. You can't get past me to the ladder. I don't need to see you to find you.
The blood marks will show me where you are.
Come and get me, Gerber. I'm waiting for you here on top of the tank.
I know you are. And you can't go any further, or you'll slip and fall to the ground hundreds of feet below.
Don't be so sure, Gerber.
There. I touched you, Shadow. Oh, you squirm very cleverly. But I've got you. I've got hold of you. You won't get away from me, Shadow.
And you won't get away from the police. Hear them coming?
You warned the police?
Yes.
But before they get here, I'm going to throw you off the tower, Shadow.
You might fall off yourself if you try to do that.
If I do, I'll pull you off with me. Come on.
Somebody on top of that water tower.
And Commissioner Weston, he's come to take you himself, Gerber. You should feel honored.
He'll never get me. He'll never take me alive.
There he is, Commissioner. Hang on the edge. He's going to be struggling with somebody. Hang on,
him. You're caught, Gerber. You're trapped. There's no escape, Gerber.
Listen to me, Commissioner Weston. You'll never get me. Never. I did it. I killed all those people. I made you think it was a shadow.
Get back, Commissioner. He's trying to jump.
You'll be killed, Gerber.
I'm not afraid. Because you're coming with me, Shadow. Come on, Shadow. Come with me.
He did it. He jumped.
Throw your light over there to the foot of the tower. See who it is. That's our man, the poisoner. There's the body.
Then he must be cut as a doornail.
Yes. No man could fall that distance and live. Turn him over. Let's see his face.
He's dead, all right. Neck's broken.
Wife's Gerber. Gerber. The chief chemist of the sanitation department. Who would ever have thought a man in his position?
He was struggling with someone up there on the top of the tower. Where's the other man?
Look around the base of the tower. See if you can find another body. Look in the bushes.
I suppose we should have missed him, but I don't see him.
Can't see a thing in these snow flurries. Swing the searchlight around. Anything over there, Sergeant?
No sign.
Nope.
I don't see anybody here, Sergeant.
Nobody over here, either, Sergeant.
I don't know on this side.
Listen. Shadow.
Yes, Commissioner Weston. The Shadow. I am walking down. And, Commissioner, don't bother to search anymore. I am the man Gerber was struggling with up on the tower.
So, you trapped Gerber?
Yes, Commissioner. I trapped him. Gerber's your man. The man who tried to poison the people of this city into paying him $500,000.
Well, he won't poison any more by the looks of him.
And now, would you do something for me, Commissioner?
By all means.
If you don't mind, Commissioner, I'd like to publicly take the credit for solving this mystery. Gerber committed his crimes in the name of the Shadow. And I rather think the real Shadow deserves to be vindicated. Don't you?
This is a firearm safety PSA. No matter how you feel about current gun laws, everybody should know the most critical rules about handling any firearm. Rule 0. All guns are always loaded. Rule 1. Never point a gun at anything you are not willing to destroy. Rule 2. Keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you have made the decision to shoot. Rule 3. Be sure of your target and what is beyond it. A public safety message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Gun safety. WMFO, Medford.
There's a buzz in the background. That's because I turned the air conditioner on. Got a little toasty in here. That was The Poison Death, original air date the 30th of January, 1938, starring Orson Welles as Lamont Cranston, The Shadow, and Agnes Moorehead as Margot Lane. Boy, that fellow that played Gerber, the city chemist, he's been a villain in so many of these. It becomes formulaic in a way. I feel bad for him. I wish I could find out who he was, what his name was. I'll make it a point to do that before I get done playing all the shadows that I have in store. This is from season one. As I indicated, there will be no six shooter this morning. I'm going to continue with another shadow. This is The Voice of Death. Now, this is the one I played a couple weeks back that was supposed to be in the sequence of shadows that are available from season one. However, this could be one of those that was redone later, a few years later, or it could be one that was done by another acting troupe from a smaller city like Detroit, Minneapolis, San Francisco, Denver, because they did do some of those sometimes, just did shows on their own, under their own broadcasting with their own acting troupes. The Voice of Death. It is not Orson Welles, obviously, because he was only through season one and season 1A. This one actually is kind of an interesting one. If you can listen through it, the audio on it is a little bad, which kind of lends itself to thinking that it is one of those radio broadcasts from a different network. So here we go. Voice of Death.
Margot Lane is the only person who knows to whom the voice of the invisible shadow belongs.
Today's story, The Voice of Death.
Sam?
Yes, Annie?
You almost finished reading your paper?
Yes, Annie.
Time to go to bed, ain't it?
Yes, Annie.
Better make sure all the windows are shut. Sounds like a real mean storm coming up.
Yes, Annie.
Sam?
Hmm? Yes, Annie.
Did you hear that?
What?
You hear it? Sounds just like little kittens.
Yeah. Well, I wonder where they come from.
Well, the poor things. Outdoors on a night like this. Sam, will you go out and find them? Go on, will you?
No, Annie, you don't.
Just listen to them little critters. Ain't you got no heart, Sam?
Oh, all right. Where's my raincoat?
Here you are. I'll set up a little box for him by the fire.
All right, all right. Now, stop your crying, kitten. I'm coming. Just wait.
I'll eat up and get a milk, too. You see him, Sam?
No, not yet.
Annie,
I don't...
Sam! all covered with blood.
My throat. Tore my throat.
Sam, how could kittens do... Sam. He's dead. Fine day to go visiting.
You want no secret, Margot?
I'm your man.
This whole thing is just an effect.
Huh? Effect, eh?
Mm-hmm. Oh. People always look for a mysterious atmosphere in the Louisiana bio, so Mother Nature very obligingly provides for it.
Oh, I see. Well, I must say that sunshine wouldn't make a great deal of difference. I don't see how it could ever penetrate those moss-laden trees. Further to go, Lamont?
I don't think so. Arthur told me the house was exactly 5 miles from that last bridge.
Why in the world would anyone want to live way off like this?
Well, the house has been in Arthur Whittington's family for many, many years. Arthur, being a rather peculiar chap, I don't suppose it bothers him in the least.
Hmm. Forgive me for appearing dull, but I don't get it.
Well, Margaret, it's a long story. It began in college when we took a medical course together. I guess I was the only person in the whole school who really understood him.
And why was that?
Well, Arthur was a brilliant student, but he was also a highly sensitive lad, always imagining that people were making fun of him, laughing at him behind his back.
Was there any reason for that?
Well, yes, there was. It was his voice. He had the harshest sounding voice I'd ever heard. It cracked, it rasped, it did everything that a voice shouldn't do.
Really?
In fact, it was his voice that made him leave medical school.
And why, you, Lamont?
Well, it all happened one day in class. Arthur had prepared a paper, an excellent paper that he had to read aloud to the student body.
Gentlemen, gentlemen, please, please. You may proceed, Mr. Whittington. And Mr. Whittington, where are you going? Wait, why are you leaving the classroom? Well, he threw down his paper and walked right out of the room.
Boy.
I've never heard of him since, but we've corresponded. And then, as you know, when he learned that we were down here in Louisiana fishing, he got in touch with me and invited us out to see him.
Well, that goes a long way toward explaining his living out here so far from civilization. You know, he still must be sensitive about that horrible voice.
Yes, I'm sure he is. But remember, we mustn't do anything to call attention to it.
Oh, heavens, no, I wouldn't. Come on, there's something right ahead on the road.
Yes, Marty, yes, I see it. This rain on the windshield is hard to... Wait, it's some sort of a fence.
Well, it looks like we've reached the end of the line, and not a house in sight.
Mm. And there seems to be a sign on it. We better get out and investigate. Button up that raincoat, Margot.
Oh, don't worry.
Yeah, getting so dark you can hardly make the sign out.
Here's a flashlight, Margot.
Oh, thank you. There we are. Whittington Hall. Keep out.
That's a nice welcome.
Oh, I'm sure that doesn't mean that. Well, looks like we'll have to walk down this path to get to the house.
I think I can just see it through the trees.
Hmm.
Come on, did you hear that?
Yes. Sounds like little kittens.
Oh, the poor things out in weather like this. I'm going to find them. They seem to be under that fence.
Margot, you'll get soaked climbing around in that underbrush.
Well, I haven't, just...
Margot! Margot, what in the next? Dog, giant dog! Get down, you! Get down! Get down! Margot, Margot! Here's trouble for you! Get down, you! Get down! There. They're running away. Margot, you all right?
Yes, I guess so.
They didn't hurt you?
No, one of them ripped my coat, that's all. Come on, I don't understand. They sounded like little kittens.
Yes, I know.
Well, what do you make of it, Lamont?
I don't know. One thing is certain. We're going back to the car and get my revolver.
Lamont, I've never seen such an eerie-looking house in my life. The broken shutters and the crumbled stairs. Those unpainted walls. Don't tell me that this is the Whittington mansion.
I guess it is, Margo.
We're back in New Orleans.
Well, if you'd rather we...
Well, no, we've come this far. Go ahead and knock at the door. I promise you, if a ghost answers, I won't be surprised.
No, frankly, nor will I.
You going to tell Mr. Whittington about the dog?
Of course. Why not?
Well, it may sound a bit strange in the telling,
dogs that found my little kitten.
Well, he may know who's...
What do you want?
Oh, good evening. We'd like to see Mr. Whittington, please.
What is it about?
He's expected.
There are no guests expected here tonight.
Well, if you'll say that Miss Lane and Mr. Cranston are
here... I tell you that Mr. Whittington is not seeing anyone tonight.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What is it?
People here, Mr. Arthur.
Oh, Arthur.
It's Lamont Cranston.
Lamont, come in. Come in.
Yes, sir, you old fool. I told you we were expecting Mr. Cranston.
Sorry, Mr. Arthur. Come in, sir, please.
Well, Lamont, I'm glad you were able to come. It's good seeing you again.
Well, thank you, Arthur. I'd like you to meet a friend of mine, Miss Lane. This is Arthur Whittington, Margot.
How do you do,
Mr. Whittington?
Well, come, take off those wet coats.
Oh, yes, we're more or less swimming in these.
Jasper, show Miss Lane and Mr. Cranston into the living room. There's a fire there, Lamont. You can dry off.
All the comforts of home.
Yes. Now, if you'd excuse me for a moment, I'll go and arrange for dinner.
Oh, yes, yes, of course.
You will come this way, please.
Thank you.
Lamont, the place is just as scary inside as it was outdoors.
Yes, I see what you mean.
Those musty walls and that worn furniture. The candles and old-fashioned lamps. I don't understand how anyone can live here.
There's something else that's more difficult to understand, Margot.
What do you mean?
That man that greeted us was Arthur Whittington. But it was not Whittington's voice.
No, no, Lamont. I saved this wine for special occasions. Very special occasions.
Well, we're flattered.
I suppose my mode of living is a bit mystifying to you, Miss Lane.
Mystifying?
Well, my staying here in the wilderness, in the house that's almost in ruins, living alone with just the servant.
Well, I think it might have its advantages, too.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that. Some people might not understand.
I must say, though, Arthur, for a man who's roughing it, you set a highly civilized table.
Well, I'm like a Britisher in the tropics, I guess. I still like to name danger. Master Arthur.
What is it, Jasper?
Why are you interrupting my meal?
Master, they are loose again.
What?
I told you to keep that door locked.
I know, but they got out.
Oh,
they must be someplace near. I keep hearing them. Excuse me, please, Miss Lane. Lamont, I'll be right back. Come on, Jasper.
Yes.
Oh, don't mind us. Lamont, you know the worst people. What's all this about?
I'm not sure, Margot. But it could be those savage dogs.
So now, do you think they belong to Mr. Whittington?
Perhaps.
You know, I'm letting you in on a little secret. I wish we could leave here.
Well, why, Margot?
Well, the way Arthur Whittington acts, the way he talks, the way he looks at you. I don't know, it just sends shivers up my back.
But we can't leave now. Not until the storm is over, anyway.
Oh, I certainly wish it would never... Come on, do you hear that?
Yes. That same sound. They're near the house this time.
Why should we have such beasts around here? And how did they get the voice of a cat?
That's something we'll find out when Arthur returns. I'll just go...
What was that?
It was a human voice.
It sounded like it came from someplace here in the house.
Yes.
Oh, I don't like this place, Lamont. When he comes back, I think you should ask for an explanation. I think we should know about those dogs, not know him, too.
Yes, when Arthur returns,
I have returned, Lamont.
I didn't hear you come in.
What was that about, my returning, Lamont?
Well, Arthur, both Margot and myself are very curious to learn something about two giant dogs that we encountered on our way in here.
Yes, what about them?
Well, we wondered just how it was possible that these huge animals had the vocal cords of tiny kittens.
Lamont, I couldn't have given you that last glass of wine.
No, but it's true. I saw and heard them, too.
Oh, now, come, Miss Lane. I'd say your imaginations were working overtime.
Who is that, Arthur?
What are you talking about?
Still in here?
That voice. Someone in this house. Arthur, we've got
this. Yes, I know. Now that you've heard him, I'll have to explain his presence.
Well, who is it? Why did he cry out like that?
Miss Lane, that was a cousin of mine, Frank Harper. He's in one of the rooms off this corridor. He's locked in that room because... Well, because he's not right mentally.
Oh.
I'm sorry you had to learn about this. Family skeletons are never very pleasant topics.
Harper. Yes, it's me, my dear cousin Harper. I've gotten free of my jail at last.
Oh.
And now...
Oh, there, do you hear me?
Oh, no, I won't. Help me. do? Help me. He can't keep me here like this.
We'll get back to your room.
No, no, let me go.
Take it easy, Arthur.
I must handle this my own way.
Don't let him send me back. Help me.
Come on, he's pulling me. Come in here with me.
No, no.
Come on. Oh, Lamont, that was horrible.
Yes, and it was also very revealing.
What do you mean?
The voice of that man Harper is the same one that used to belong to Arthur Whittington.
Lamont, what does all this mean?
I don't know yet, Margot. Some way, somehow, that poor creature that rushed in here has been given Whittington's voice.
Listen, the animals again.
Yes. They're part of this thing, too. The sniffed up of voices.
Oh, Lamont, I wish we could leave here right now.
We can't go now, Margot. Not until we learn what's behind all this.
Lamont, what's happening up there?
Sounds as if Harper's being beaten. Come on, Margot. We're going to that room.
What are you going to do?
I want to talk to that boy. Quietly, Margot. We must get down the hall without Whittington hearing us.
What is he doing to him?
Quiet. The room is right down here.
Are you going in?
Not yet. Not until Whittington leaves. I want to talk to the boy alone.
Well, perhaps I'd better wait in the living room.
Well?
If Whittington wants to know where you are, I can tell him that you've gone out to the car for something.
Very well, Margot.
Please, Lamont, please don't be long.
I won't. The answer to this mystery will be found very quickly by the shadow.
That'll teach you not to go running around this house. Now you stay here and be quiet, understand? Either you obey me in the future. Good night, my dear cousin.
Harper.
What is that?
I've come here to help you, Mr. Harper.
Hearing things. I'm hearing things again.
No, you're not.
Who speaks to me?
I am called the Shadow.
I see no one.
I'm standing right here beside you. But you can't see me because I've used my hypnotic power to cloud your vision.
I don't understand.
Listen to me, Harper. I'm here to help you get out. But first, I must learn something from you.
You'll have to.
Yes, yes. But tell me, why are you here? Why has your cousin kept you locked in this room?
He's jealous of me. He always has this.
How did he get you into this house?
I came to visit. Just like that couple I saw in the dining room tonight. But I never got out. They never will either.
Why do you say that?
He will use them just as he used me. For his devilish work.
Why was your cousin jealous of you?
My voice.
Yes? What about your voice?
I used to have the voice that Arthur has now.
I knew it. I knew it. What did he do? How did he accomplish this transference?
Came to my house one night. Had dinner. I felt drowsy. I'd been drunk.
Yes, then what happened?
Well, when I came to, I was in his laboratory.
He has a laboratory here in the house?
Yes. I was strapped to a table. I fought to get loose, but it wasn't any use. Only clamped an ether cone on my face. I passed out.
And when you came to?
When I came to, oh, it must have been days later. I had his voice, this horrible voice of his, and he had mine.
And you've been kept prisoner here ever since?
Yes, yes, always in this cell. In this same cell. Even the dogs get out, those savage dogs that he gave the voices of little kittens.
Oh, I see. That accounts for the dogs. Well, I promise you this, Mr. Harper. You shall be free to leave this cell of yours after tonight.
Is that you, Lamont?
No.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Oh, Mr. Whittington.
Where is Lamont?
Well, he went out to the car or something. He should be right back.
I see. Well, perhaps you'd like me to show you your room while we're waiting.
Oh, no, thanks. That's all right. I'll wait for him.
I'd rather you come with me now, if you will. I have several chores to perform, and I'd just like you to know where your room is.
Very well.
Just down this hall, Miss Lane.
Thank you.
I think you'll be very interested in what I have to show you. This will be your room. Won't you step inside?
All right. Is there a light that I can... What are you doing?
I'm just making sure that no one will disturb us, Miss Lane.
How did you lock that door?
You see. Now we'll put on this lamp. There.
What is this place?
This is my laboratory, Miss Lane. My workshop, where I conduct my experiments.
Let me out of here and unlock that door at once.
I'm sorry, but you're staying here.
Don't get mad. I'll call for help. Lamont will hear me.
Why don't you call?
Lamont!
Lamont! Before you continue, Miss Lane, you might be interested to learn that these walls are completely soundproof.
What are you doing? Why are you coming here?
You're going to help me, Miss Lane.
Help you?
Yes. You're going to be a party to an experiment of mine. My greatest experiment.
What do you mean?
You'll learn soon enough. First, I'm afraid I must strap you to this table.
No! Don't keep away from me!
Nothing such an option as killing
you. Don't do that! Lamont!
On the door.
Let go
of me. Come with me now.
Oh, on
the table.
No, you can't do this.
There you are.
Let me go. Let me go.
Now a few straps to hold you securely.
Don't let me loose.
There you are.
Oh.
Now you can struggle or scream as much as you wish. I'd particularly recommend the scream. It may be your last chance to use it.
What do you mean?
This experiment of mine has to do with your voice, Miss Lane. That's my work, you know. The transference of voices.
What are you saying?
You've already heard two of my examples. The dogs with the voices of little kittens. And my cousin, Frank Harper.
And it's true. What Lamont said is true.
Oh, so he guessed my secret, eh? Well, he'll never live to tell it.
Oh, no.
You will survive, though. But you won't be able to tell it either, Miss Lane.
What are you going to do to
me? I'll show you. The answer to your question is in this box. Let me open it. There we are.
A cat.
Where's the cat? Have you ever seen a more beautiful cat? He's pure Persian, aren't you, girl?
What has that cat got to do with me?
Great deal. And giving her your vocal cords.
No. No, you don't know what you're doing. You're mad.
Not at all. I nearly have a great hatred, Miss Lane, for the entire human race. They ruined me. Their hearts of cold have blighted my entire life. But animals, ah, we are different. Aren't you, my little pet?
No, you can't mean what you say.
But I do. The lady knows that, don't you, girl? She knows that after tonight, we'll be able to converse. Be able to tell one another all the things that we've kept stored.
Oh, you can't do this.
And you, Miss Lane, as befits your sex, you will have the vocal cords of a cat.
No, no.
Now I think we can proceed with these.
No, keep away. Keep away.
There will be no pain. This ether will take care of that. Are you ready?
No, please.
No, she isn't ready, Mr. Whittington.
Who is that? Who spoke?
I spoke to you.
Who are you?
I am called the Shadow. Don't try to find me. I've made myself quite invisible to your eyes.
What are you doing here? Why are you interrupting my work?
I've come to put an end to your work. I'm here to free that young woman.
Oh, no, no, you won't. I'm not frightened by someone I can't even see.
Put down that ether.
I'm going ahead with my work.
No, no!
You may not be able to see me, Mr. Whittington, but I think you'll feel this.
Why, you...
Now I'm releasing this girl, and then I'm holding you until I can get the police out here. They'll be very interested in your experiment.
You think you can keep me here, do you?
But I just put up some
money. Now, Mr. Shadow, I am invisible too, and I'm getting out here right now.
He's stopping. He's going through those chains.
Come back here, Whittington.
Come and get me, Shadow.
Come on, Margo. He's not getting away.
There he is, crossing the lawn.
He's evidently trying to get to our car. There are two figures running after Whittington. It's the dog, the giant dog.
No. Did you tell the police about the dogs?
Yes. They've destroyed them. And Whittington's body is being removed to town.
Mm-hmm. You know something, Lamont?
What?
Whenever I see an alley cat from now on, I'll think to myself, good, but for the grace of the Shadow, go I.
Yeah.
out. Crime does not pay. The Shadow knows.
Voice of Death has an air date of the 23rd of January, 1938. However, I'm not uncertain about that. That does not have Orson Welles as the Shadow. As far as I know, he didn't miss any episodes that first season in the Auxiliary 1A season. You're listening to Arthur. This is the Grand Hour. Coming up next should be Radio Morning with Gaz, but there's finals going on, so I don't know if she'll make her show. Community-wise, Medford Little League starts Sunday with the parade at Hormel to drain fields over there in the east, southeast part of Medford. So Little League gets underway this weekend, and I'm, for one, I'm happy. Next week, I'll be back. We'll have the six shooter. I always miss Britt. It's kind of not the same. But I'm sorry again that I wasn't able to honor your request. So we got a double billing of the Shadow. Happy birthday to everybody that had birthdays this week. It seems like there's a whole litany of them. Odds is your birthday today. What I'm going to do is just play out. Do I got any other notes here? No other notes. I'm just going to play out New York and Chicago jazz until either Gaz shows up or automation kicks back in.